number 33 tonight, please, just for a few moments, and we'll try to take a thought or two from there and bring you a little Sunday school lesson, and we'll go to the house. All right. Psalm 33, and when you find that place, let's stand together, and we'll read the entire psalm tonight. There's 22 verses, and we'll read it in its entirety in tonight's service. David said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." If you cannot see God's goodness around you every day, you may have a problem, lost or saved. Now, I'll tell you, I see God's goodness just in giving me the energy to get out of bed in the morning, letting me breathe the air that I've got to breathe. And I've got news for you. If God didn't give you the air, you'd die pretty quick. It's His air we're breathing. We ought to be thankful for the air that He gives us. God's been good to us. He said in verse 5, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." I could not help but to think of that verse today at 5 o'clock hour when they aired the USA radio news, and the spokesman for the White House said that the White House stand on homosexuality was that it was an alternate lifestyle, and a lifestyle that men and women are born with and not chosen. I want to say that that's wicked, ungodly, and our nation is bound for destruction when we fall, or when we depart from the truths of the Word of God and fall away from the counsels of Almighty God. It's a sad day in America. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When the White House endorsed sodomites, lesbians, gays, queers, whatever you want to call them, makes no difference to me. We're living in a sad hour, brother, in America. And he goes on to say in verse 13, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. For our heart will rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee." Our Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God and for the privilege to be in church. I pray, Lord, tonight that You'll help us. We need revival. Lord, we need a touch of heaven upon our hearts. There's needs here tonight, Lord, that can only be met by Thee. And I pray that You'll help us to yield ourselves to You tonight. Lord, that You might fill us with all the goodness of God. Cleanse us of all of our sin. Bless us, Lord, with all blessings and spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet every need, the longing of every heart, satisfy every soul, give grace to every child of God, save every sinner, and get glory unto yourself. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I had the thought tonight that I want to bring to you ready for our Sunday school hour on Sunday. And with the lights and electricity and so forth, we never got into the Sunday school hour. And to be quite honest, it's not exactly what I want to do tonight, but it's what I feel like maybe the Lord wants. I wanted to preach for a little while tonight on the fear of the Lord. And in this chapter and in chapter number 34 following, the Lord, several times David makes reference there to those that fear the Lord. And especially in chapter 34 and in verse number 7, he speaks of the angel of the Lord that encamps round about those that fear him and then delivers him. And I wanted to preach on the fear of the Lord, and then I thought about preaching on God's wall of safety, and it just didn't seem to get together. And so I'm going to try to bring you this thought tonight out of Psalm number 33, and just the thought of the entire and overall psalm. I've labeled this psalm David's Song of Praise. And if you'll notice in chapter number 11 of verse 32, he concludes that chapter on this very thought of praise and rejoicing in the Lord, and then continues that thought over into the chapter number 33. He said in verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. And then shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." And then he continues that same thought in chapter 33 when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." As I've said, you notice how that the psalm begins, "Rejoice in the Lord." And then he said, "For praise is comely for the upright." Now, rejoicing, church, and praise is like a left and a right-hand glove. There, one of them is not complete without the other, and they cannot be separated. In fact, to rejoice, before a man can rejoice in the Lord, he's got to have some joy of his own, because joy, or rejoicing, is the outworking of joy. Before I go any further, I want to say that if we're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, then there ought to be a joy unspeakable and full of glory that dwells within our bosom. Now, brother, if that joy has departed from us and we're living without that happy estate that we once had, then there is either a problem in our own heart somewhere, or there could be a problem in the congregation that we fellowship in that has got the Spirit of God grieved to the point, and the Holy Ghost is quenched to such a degree that we are not allowed to rejoice in the blessings of the Lord. You know that David said in Psalm 84, he said, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And friend, rejoicing is an outworking of the joy that we have from being saved by the grace of God. And praise is in like manner. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." In other words, praise and rejoicing, it is six of one and half a dozen of the other. There's just not much difference there. And in this particular psalm of David's, it is no doubt a psalm or a song of praise and rejoicing to the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said that joy is the fountain of our praise. Brother, I'm glad that when he left here, he gave us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Church, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer or good joy, for I have overcome the world. And I'm telling you, there is no reason under God's blue heaven, except sin being in our life, that should hinder us from rejoicing and enjoying the blessings of God and what He's done for us when He redeemed our soul from a devil's hell upon the cross of Calvary. I tell you, we've strayed from the cross. We've gotten away from Calvary. We've forgotten about the love of God that's been shed abroad there and given to us as repentant sinners calling upon the name of God and being saved. I'm telling you, friend, that we ought to be the happiest people in all this world. Somebody said, but Brother Hall, things all around us are in a terrible state and the world is in a mess. And I'm telling you what your problem is tonight. You've got your eyes on the world and the situation rather than setting your sights upon God and the fact that we're living in an accomplished redemption. We're not working to be saved. We're not laboring to be saved. We are saved by the grace of God. We're not laboring to go to heaven. We're not working to go to heaven. We are going to heaven in spite of the devil, in spite of sin, in spite of the world, in spite of the condition at the White House or your house. If you're saved by the grace of God, we're going to heaven tonight, and we ought to rejoice in God for what He's done for us. Amen to God. But Spurgeon said, joy is the fountain of our praise. He goes on to say that joy is the soul of praise. You see, we've lost our soul. Right. We talk about the soul brothers. Black folk having soul and being soul brothers. But I'm telling you, friend, that joy is the soul of our praise. He goes on to say, to delight ourselves in God is most truly to extol Him. Even if we let no notes of song proceed from our lips. Charles Spurgeon said, even if there is not one note of joy or song uttered from our lips, there still ought to be in our hearts a joy unspeakable and a full of glory. I heard old Milford Biddle say some time ago that joy and praise or a song is one thing that God gave every child that He redeemed for His own. For He lifted him out of a horrible pit and put a song in his heart, even praise unto our God. And buddy, you may not know very well how to let it out with your lips, and when you do, it may not be very pretty, but I'm glad that we can have a song in our heart that the world can't rob us of. And buddy, we can go on a singing in spite of the devil, in spite of sin, society, ungodliness, and all that mess around us. We can still have a song in our heart, whether we can sing it or not. Thank God it's still there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice what else the bearded prophet says. He says that God is, and that He is such a God. What kind of a God is our God? Friends, that He is such a God, and our God, ours forever and ever, it should wake within us an unceasing and overflowing joy. Friend, when I consider just what kind of a God I have, buddy, I'm not a servant of dead God. I'm not a servant of no dumb idol. I threw four of them in the dumpster today. This concrete made out, amen, four little gods made out of concrete with wings on their back. I threw them in the dumpster. Buddy, I'm not a worshiping something made with man's hands. I'm not a worshiping a statue or an idol made of concrete or bronze or brass. Buddy, I'm working a spirit. I'm worshiping a spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He created all things that is, and friend, He's a God of the world, of the universe. He's the only true and the living God. He is alive today and not dead, and I want to extol Him in praise from my lips. You can sit there like a dead dog, not on low if you want to. Praise God, I'm just about ready to start shouting whether you do or not. I played your little game about as long as I'm going to. Hallelujah to God. Saved! Saved and in love with Jesus, thank God. What kind of a God is he? He's a God that was alive and was dead and will always alive forevermore. What kind of a God is he? He's a God that has the keys of hell and death hanging about his girdle. What kind of a God is it? He's a God that spoke everything you see into existence, come to earth, died on a cross, went to a grave, rose again, and he's coming back. Hallelujah to God. What a God we have. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Unceasing and overflowing joy. Now, you hear me well. You should have got in on that now and nagged me on a little bit because it's done too late now. We done gotten some other thoughts now. You should have got on your feet a minute ago and helped me. Hey, to rejoice in temporal comforts is dangerous. Notice our text said rejoice in the Lord. Right. Not in temporal comforts of this life. There was a man that we read about in Luke 12, and you don't need to turn there. But I'll tell you, that man found himself just overwhelmed with the temporal comforts of this life. He looked at his life and said, what more can I have? He said, I've got barns, great barns, and these barns are filled to capacity. What? He said, what more can I do? He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll tear down bigger barns, I'll tear these barns down and make bigger barns. And I'll fill those barns up and then I'll eat, I'll drink, and I'll be happy. I mean, I have everything going my way. But the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And brother, I don't care how much a man possesses in this life or what he has temporarily speaking in this world, you better be careful rejoicing in those temporal things, for they'll take wings and fly away from you someday. They can take wings like a bird and be gone in a moment of twinkling of an eye. A man's a fool to rejoice in temporal things, to set his affection upon things in this life, to set his heart's desire upon things in this life that are soon to vanish away. Oh, yes, sir. But if what is this life? James said it is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Old brother David said in the book of Psalms, he said, what is your life? It's but a blade of grass that springs up, and then when the sun shines upon it, it withers away immediately. I'm telling you, friend, that our life is no more than just a vapor that's here for a little while and gone, and to rejoice in temporal things is to be absolutely a fool. We ought to rejoice in the God of the universe, who is not temporal, but is eternal, and by him he created all things, and by him all things consist. He spoke them here by the word of his power, and by the word of his power, he holds them into place. He spoke the stars and the moon and the sun into their sockets, and by his own power, he holds them there. That's who I want to rejoice in. Oh, David said, rejoice in the Lord, not rejoice in temporal comforts. It's dangerous. God may call you out of this place today. Somebody said, what about you? You're building that big home over there. What are you going to do if he calls you out? I'll let you live in it. You'll catch that after a while. I'll be gone. You can do with it whatever you want to do with it. I don't give a flip. Hear what I said? I don't give a flip. You can have that big pink tub right along with it. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. The whirlpool too. I got news for you. You have the payments that goes with it too. Woo! Amen. I'm a moving in one on the other side that's already paid for. That's who I want to rejoice in. The God that's built me a mansion on the other side, honey. Amen. Where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth and rust does not corrupt it. I'm glad, thank God, I got a treasure on the other side. Amen to God. To rejoice in yourself is not only dangerous, but to rejoice in yourself is foolish. There's a man in the book of Daniel, chapter number 4, verses 34 through 37, by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And old Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, Daniel, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, look here what I've done. He said, man, look at what I've done. I've built this empire. And said, boy, said, ain't I been something? Ain't I really something? You know, we're living in that hour. Brother, when men are worshipers of self, Oh, and they are so proud of what they've done. And so proud of their accomplishments. And got the idea that they've accomplished some great feat. I'm telling you that man couldn't even breathe without God. Why preachers want to try to build little empires and then brag about what they've done. It's beyond my wildest imagination. I'm telling you, friend, the longer I stay at Island Ford Baptist Church and the littler our crowd gets, and yet we're still here, makes me stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, and cause me to realize if it wasn't by the power of God, I still I wouldn't be here.
Right. Amen.
Oh, Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm what I said, man, look what all I've done. What kind of a fool. God said, Daniel, you tell him that by this time tomorrow he's going to be in the field eating grass, and his fingernails will grow out like claws, and his hair will grow like bird feathers, and he'll be like the wild beast of the field. And God did that to him. But thank God He left him a step. Oh, He left him a step to where His kingdom would grow again. I'm telling you, friend, hey, and you know what? When old Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself and give God the glory and realize that you ought to rejoice in God and praise God that He's the God of the universe and in control of man, it was then and only then that God restored His kingdom to him. Huh? What about that? I tell you, to rejoice in sin is fatal. David said, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Not rejoice in sin. You know, in Psalm, in Genesis, Exodus 32, when Moses had been up on the mountain and getting the Ten Commandments, the tables of the law, and he came back down, and that nation, in his absence, had called on Aaron to build them a god, to make them a god that would go before them back down into the land of Egypt. And he said, told Moses later, said they just took off their earrings, threw them in the fire, and a calf jumped out of it. That's what most folks say that get caught in idolatry. It just happened. It didn't. Bless your heart. No, it didn't. I'm telling you that the heart of man is prone to wander from God. The heart of man is prone to leave the God that loves them and to serve other gods and rejoice in other gods and even rejoice in sin. And I'm telling you, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it is a fatal thing to rejoice in sin, because that sin will find you out, you marker down. Mark her down.
Amen.
But then when Moses come down off of that mountain and saw that crowd dancing around that golden calf, rejoicing in their sin of idolatry. Do you know men all over America tonight are rejoicing? People in Chicago, Illinois tonight are rejoicing in their idolatry.
Right.
I mean, they're rejoicing in idolatry. They're worshiping man. They're worshiping the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, I knew you'd get on that. You better blame well right. I've got on it, buddy. I'm telling you that men all over America are robbing God of His praise and robbing God of the glory that's due His name. And my God said He would not share His glory with another. And I'm telling you, judgment days are coming. Judgment days are coming on America. Son, we've left our God.
Amen.
And our God is sports.
Yes,
yeah, somebody said, I wish you'd leave it alone. God don't want me to. Because
right.
I'm preaching against the God of this world. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That is the God of this world. Somebody said, well, Spurgeon didn't preach on it. They didn't have it back then.
Right.
Like they got it now.
Right.
Been kind of a fool for him to try to preach on television when there was no such a thing, wouldn't it? I can't preach on something I don't know anything about. But if God will tell me something that's going to come in down the road that's wicked and ain't been invented yet, I'll preach on it. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Yes, I will. Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you, friend, America, paydays are coming. That fellow, that spokesman in the White House, rebuking Trent Lott for his stand against sodomy and fact that it's sin. Come out and talk about how it's just an alternate lifestyle. And we just got to learn to love these people and live with these people. And God made them the way they're making. We're sick, bless God. Oh, yes! Son, I could grab somebody with their... God ain't never created a man or a woman and made him a thinking sodomite. You can tell Bill Clinton left your heart, your whole said so. Amen. By the way, I got connections in high places. Newt Gingrich's office called me today. Want to know my opinion on the taxes. what I felt about taxes. Ain't I something, boys? I like telling them all in ear fools. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of the mess going on in America.
Yes,
you know, it ain't been but about 3 or 4 years ago when all you heard was, if we can just get liquor, we can just get liquor in Madisonville, our economic problem will be solved in Madisonville, buddy. It'll bring in industry. It'll bring in high-paying jobs. I'm going to tell you what liquor brought in. Stinking chicken houses.
Right.
Tried to bring in a bunch of smelly, stinking hogs. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing it's done is caused our city council and our city government and our local government to fight and argue like a bunch of cats and dogs. Councilmen punching each other in the nose, knocking each other out, fighting, suing, lawsuit. That all goes back to bringing liquor into Hopkins County.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
And Tom Clinton and that bunch at the Messenger, all you read in their opinion column, oh, we need the beer. It'll open up the industry. It'll bring in big motels and fancy restaurants, and our economy will boom. And now the economy ain't booming, and all their articles are talking in the Messenger. They want to blame the management who is trying to promote the economic problem in Madisonville. They're bungling everything. They're fouling. That's why we don't have... Hey, what happened to the beer? If the beer was the answer, boy, forget what they're doing now. The beer ought to bring her in. I'm telling you that crowd was rejoicing in their sin, and you can be sure your sin will find you out. And it's found this place, buddy. It's found this place. There ain't another place that I know's had any more preaching and any more godliness than what they've had around this area from the preaching. They've been some pretty good preaching went on around here. In years back and now, that's right, I'm not a bragging, but they have been. God's put a gospel radio station here to witness to the entire western third of the state of Kentucky, and yet they fall farther from God and fall into their sin and brag and rejoice over the sin that they're living in.
Right.
Paydays are coming, friend.
Yes.
It's fatal to rejoice in your sin.
Amen.
That's right. Now, but to rejoice in God is heavenly. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Now, the object of our praise. Now, I want everybody to... We need this church. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you're deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't even smile when you come to church anymore. You don't even smile. Some of you act like it's a chore to come to church. Huh? You act like it's a chore and a drudgery. What if I felt that way? I'd just stay at home. I'd just stay at the house. Oh, yes, sir. I'd just stay at home if I felt like it was just wearing me out and a tiring thing to come to church. If I didn't want to come to church to get something in my soul from heaven and to extol and praise and magnify my Lord, I'd just stay at the house. The object of our praise, it is not temporal comforts. It is not self. It is not sin. It is God.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, somebody said, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Hey, the object of our praise is the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, what is praise? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you whether you want to know it or not. And I'm telling you, it's going to clean all of our clouds. Here, the word praise, it means a laudation or a hymn of praise. It means to come to the church house and to lift up our voice in song. I quit singing tonight and to see what I could hear, and it sounded worse than a bunch of kindergartners. I've heard kids in VBS lost that sang with more laudation than what we sang at the church anymore. I'm not being ugly. Hey, somebody said, I want to be right with God. Then get your voice up. Learn to pray. Somebody said, oh, I know. Hey, he said in verse 11 of chapter number 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O ye righteous, and shout for joy. Rejoice in the Lord, he said, for praise is comely for the upright. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, David said, there's nothing wrong with you lifting your voice up in praise. It's comely. It is right. It ought to be done. God deserves it. God desires it. God wants your praise. Man, have you ever took a Strong's Concordance and looked how many times the word praise is written in it? I didn't count them. I don't believe I've got that many fingers and toes. I'm not Goliath. And all four of his brothers with him, or his boys, whoever there was. It's more times than that, more over again and again, that word praise is used. And it means a laudation. It means a hymn of praise and a laudation. We just sang that song the other day. What? Glory, laud, and laud. To laud Him. Glory, laud, and honor unto Him belong. Are you here? Did I say it right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it means to revere or to worship with extended hands. Psalm 42 and verse number 5. I'll just read that verse for you, just in case, you know, there's any infidels in here. He said, "Why art thou cast down?" Oh, you mean praise is the reverse of being cast down? "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." David said, all he's got to do is smile one time. And I'm going to lift up my hands that if he'll just smile on me one time, just a little smile, whew, just a wink from the eye.
Right.
I tell you, I walked in the bedroom, into Miss Hall's bedroom. She was getting ready to leave the other day somewhere. And she's getting dressed and fixing her hair, standing there. She's already dressed. I looked in her and I said, she looked over me and went, I said, "Lord, don't do that. Ooh. Doesn't that just about give a man a heart attack?" I mean, boy, hey, but if your wife can wink at you and give you a heart attack, I mean, one of them 16-year-old girl winks, huh? And your heart goes, and you say, work, go to work. Can you imagine what it ought to do to a saint's heart when Almighty God looks down over the battlements of glory and says, I praise Him. I revere Him. I worship Him.
Yes.
I will, as Paul said, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and worship Him at His feet. Because He's worthy of it. Hey, it means to address in a loud tone. It means to commend, to give glory to, and to triumph. And it means that in chapter 63 of Psalm. And in verse number 3, when David said, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Thy loving kindness is better than... Can you get a hold of that? David said, God's love for me is better than life itself. I'd rather have His love than to have life. Oh, are you hearing me well? Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight, friend? I would rather have God's love and go on to glory tonight than I would be deprived of it and live for an eternity on this earth without the love of God. But He has granted unto me His wonderful salvation and given me the privilege not only to extol His name in this life, but to bring glory to Him from my lips for eternity in the life which is to come. I'm telling you, the angels of God and the seraphim of heaven are right now bowed at His feet around the throne of grace, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." In the book of the Revelation, the 24 elders fall down at His feet and worship the God that lives forever and ever. God, for who He is. God, when my mind thinks upon Him, I just cannot fathom what God's done for me, who He is, what He's done, and what He's yet going to do. Like the old black preacher said, it's not what I am, it's what I'm going to be.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, this one will kill you, and I'm going to read this verse first. It's in chapter 35 and verse number 18. I'm going to read that first and tell you what it means. 35:18, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." Now, look out now. Everybody look right up here. Where's the praise taking place here? Somebody said, all I want to do is praise Him in the solitude of my own home. I will give thanks in the great congregation.
Right.
I will praise thee among much people.
That's good, preacher. Amen.
Somebody said, I'm a silent praiser. Well, you might be, but I don't know about that.
Right.
Doesn't God get a hold of your heart, you may not be too silent.
Amen.
Do you know what that word praise in that verse means? Where David said, I'm going to praise you in a great congregation. And by the way, everybody look right up here and listen right now. That scripture there is actually referring in typology to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will praise you in the great congregation. Jesus will rejoice and praise the eternal triune Godhead for what He's done for you and I. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's that mean? I'm glad you asked. It means to shine. It means to make a show. It means to boast. It means to be clamorously foolish.
Right.
It means to celebrate. Look at your Strong's. You don't have to take my word for it. It literally means to rave. To act like a raving fool in the presence of God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, oh, hey, don't tell me. If somebody in the flesh can jump up and down at a stupid ball game and holler and hoot and sweat and rant and rave and jump and jerk and flounce and kick and waller that over a ball, men, that we can't order to praise our God and rave and celebrate over what God's done for you and I. We ought to praise Him because of His creation. We ought to praise Him because of our salvation. We ought to praise Him because of our glorification. Son, I'm telling you, I'm as good as glorified. Woo! Woo! For whom He did call. For as many as He called. Them He justified. And as many as He justified. Them He also glorified. Well, I'm telling you, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places in a glorified body. Somebody said, how can it be? You're already here. I don't know, but I'm here near those.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm here in the body and there in the spirit. My life is hid with Christ in God. And I've got news for you. It's up yonder. It's where it's hid at.
Right.
That's where you're at. Hey, you're just as good as in heaven. Just as good as glorified. Just as good as resurrected. Somebody said, Brother Hall, but I ain't resurrected. I thought you were saved.
Right.
You who were dead. Were dead in trespasses and sin. Hath He quickened together. And then He raised us up together. And then He set us down together with Christ. And where? In heavenly places. My God, that blows my mind.
Amen.
I think I'll just thank Him. Woo! Huh?
Amen.
Son, I got you. I got something.
Hallelujah.
You don't know what's going on in my life. No, and praise God, you don't know what's went on in mine. You don't know what's going on in mine right now. I got a little prayer wheel turning right now. Got a little fire burning. I'm going to be honest with you. God help me to. Not bragging, but my flame ain't never even flickered. Much less going out, buddy, it ain't never even flickered. I mean, when I got saved, I got saved. I got a dose of it. Well, I got a double dose. I got a good portion. Yes, sir. If there's one thing in the world, I know that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I know it. I said I know it. I've been saved. I know it.
Yes, sir.
I know it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, you're acting foolish. I thought that's what David said we're supposed to do.
Right. Amen.
Victory in Jesus. Is that right?
Amen.
The object of our praise is Him. The objective of our praise. What is the objective of it? Now, I'll say number one is to adore Him. To love Him, to adore Him, to extol Him, to magnify Him. Oh, He's worthy of it too. Yes, sir. But I'm going to tell you something else. Not only Not only is the objective just to adore Him, but the objective, it reveals our gratitude. Let me ask something tonight. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what God's done for you? My land. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, I pour contempt upon all my sins and rejoice in my Lord. Hallelujah to God. I want to be thankful. Friend, I'm telling you, I could be in hell tonight. I could be in the flames of hell where the rich man of Luke 16 is at tonight, a screaming and a begging God yet for a drop of water. I've got news for you. He is yet a begging God to send Lazarus with that one drop. He's never ceased begging God for one drop of water. I could be in the flames of hell tonight, scorching and burning and a begging God. But God showed me mercy. Oh, God showed me tender mercy. God showed me loving mercy. God showed me eternal mercy. God showed me rich mercy. God gave me grace. God brought me out. God gave me a hope in my heart. Delivered me from sin and from its penalty, from its power. And one of these days, He's going to deliver me from the very presence of it. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Woo! I said, what are you trying to do? Trying to show you what you ought to be doing. Trying to set a good example. It reveals our gratitude. Are you not thankful? It expresses our love. Now look here. Love's got to have some action behind it somewhere. What you fellas in here that's married, do you tell your wife how much you love her and then never do nothing for her? May not be long. She may think you're a phony baloney. Jesus, God said, I love the world, and to prove it, I'm going to give my Son. See, that expresses our love. You've got love's got to have action, folks. And you'll never convince me that real love don't touch your heart. Now, look here. I ain't got a bit of Robert or Sharon blood running through my vein. Not one drop. They ain't a bitter relation to me. They're members of the church I pastor. They really are no more relation to me than you are. But that day when they stood right there, they wasn't my kids either. But that day when they stood right there, boy, I'm telling you, something caused my old heart to go. Huh? They just something about love, boy. They just something about love that touches people's hearts. Love, real love can't be quenched. It can't be quenched. It cannot be greed. It cannot be held back. It can't be held back, son. I tell you, real love is like the Niagara Falls. You ain't going to dam it. She'll find a crest and run over the top if you try to dam up love. There ain't a dam in this world big enough to dam up love, boys. It won't work. It humbles our heart. See, that's why some of y'all won't praise God and worship God. You're so proud and stiff-necked. I am in love with Jesus. Well, let's gather about the altar and pray. Father, I'm not going to let nobody see me carrying on like that. You know, I used to think the same thing till I seen that old man, 70-some years old, preaching in Chapel Tabernacle from up in the mountains of North Carolina. And he got talking about worshiping God and loving God, and he illustrated it by a dog licking him on the hand. And he got down on the platform that night in the chapel in front of every college student in that school and began to bark like a dog and lick his hand. And said, that's what we ought to do to Jesus. And I said right then, if that old man, if he can lose his dignity and get down and crawl around like that to glorify his God, buddy, I can too. Huh? But it's going to humble your flesh.
Right.
It's not only going to humble your heart, but it's going to crucify the flesh.
Right.
I mean, it'll you just have to crucify the flesh. You've got to kill the flesh to praise God. It's got to die.
Right.
Somebody said, why? Because they that worship Him must do it in spirit and in truth. And that old flesh has got to die.
Right.
I've got to try to hurry. My time's gone. But there's the There's the object of our praise. There's the objective of our praise. But what about the object? Who is it that praises God? David said in our text, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye upright, for praise is comely for the upright." Now, don't nobody leave me now. We ain't done yet. We ain't done yet. The objects of His praise are the righteous and the upright. Now, in case some of y'all, I wish Brother Ricky was out here. I want him to hear this. I ain't even going to read it till he gets out here, because I think he may relate to this a little while. You see, we're living, are y'all listening to me now? We're living in an hour when it is a real, it's the end thing to bring in singing groups and have hymn sings. I mean, they have them out in the auditoriums. They have them in coliseums. They have them at the executive ends up in Evansville. I mean, they get drunk in there on Friday night and sing gospel music in there on Saturday night. Used to. I don't think they do it anymore. I'm glad they don't do it anymore. But who is it that praises God? And by the way, what I'm saying is, you're not going to convince me, buddy, that this crowd that is a singing like they're a praising God, and they never darken in a church house door and let a preacher bust their hide. They're always on the road on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, singing in coliseums, singing in auditoriums, singing in motels, singing in the Smokies. That crowd's never been to Calvary.
Amen.
Now I want you to hear me strongly for unpardoned professional singers. He said, "It is a jewel of gold in a swine's snout." And then I like this. He said, "Crooked hearts make crooked music."
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, I don't give a flip if they're listening tonight. Buddy, that crowd that runs up there and has to sweep broken beer bottles up off the floor at the Executive Inn in Evansville and talks about how godly they are, how God comes down in that place, they're a line through their teeth. Yes, I said it! Professional singers do not honor God. Praise is comely for the upright. For the righteous. For the upright man. For the saved man. For the born again man. It's comely. It's right. He said, "But the upright are the Lord's delight." Do you know what Thomas Watson said? He said, "A profane man stuck with God's praise is like a dunghill stuck with flowers." Thomas Watson also said, he said, "The godly are only fit to be choristers in God's praise. It is called the garment of praise in Isaiah 61:3, and the garment sits handsome only on a saint's back." Now, I'm telling you, you're looking at one man that don't have 15 cents or the time of day for that professional crowd out here running around singing gospel music and drawing money off of God's people.
Right.
Now, y'all sit there with your mouth shut if you want to. But it does, hey, I don't have a minute. I don't have any time for that crowd. And I'm telling you, when I have to bow down to them to keep WSOF radio on the air, one or two things will happen. She'll either go off or I'm gone. Because I am not bowing to that crowd. Had a fellow to sit in there in my office and rub his finger, say, "Now, if you'll just let us have a little program on there and play our music, you'll never have to worry about money ever again. We'll see to it. For 1 hour a week program, we'll see to it." I'm telling you, I'm not bowing to the devil, buddy. And I've had the last bunch of the devil singing in here.
Amen.
Amen. Yes! Then the instruments of our praise. We're to praise the Lord with a harp. We're to sing to Him with a pizzle tree. That's sultry for all of us sophisticated folks. And an instrument of 10 strings. Now, right here's where I want to say this. I gathered from Charles Spurgeon's notes that he did not fully agree with music in the church, musical instruments. He felt like these were in typology of the music that we're to make unto the Lord and ourselves. But I'm not opposed to song. Hey,
Now notice though, he said an instrument of 10 strings. And I don't believe he had ever told how many strings was on that harp or whatever it was David played on if he didn't intend for David to use all 10 of them. You hear me well. God intends for you and I to use every chord we have in our being to praise Him with it. If there's 10 chords in our being, we ought to strike a note on all 10 chords and learn how to praise God in harmony in our soul with all 10 chords. If it's a grand piano in there, I would to God He'd put a grand piano in me, boy. I'd like to tickle them keys. Huh? Notice what he said here now. Don't leave me in verse number 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully. With a loud noise. Somebody said, I don't know. Like nothing loud in the church house. Crank her up. How many times we cranked up these speakers and blowed the walls out of this place. With a loud noise. Somebody said, I don't like that noise. I just like everything to be quiet. Well, go up and join the First Baptist Church. Join the Promise Whispers. I mean Keepers. A fellow told me today, said, boy, said some of our people in church went to the Promise Keepers, said they had a great time. Said there's over 30,000 men there. I wouldn't have bragged about it. Going to a motel room with 30,000 hairy-legged men. Going to bed. Can you imagine laying down in a bed with some man and saying, and taking him by the hand and say, I promise to be faithful to my wife. Am I understanding these jokers? Huh? But notice he said, sing a new song. New song. Look here. Spurgeon said, let us not present old worn out praise, but put life and soul and heart into every song. He said, since we have new mercies every day, we ought to have a new song to sing every day for the glory of God. And I'm not talking about changing the music. I'm talking about having a new song in her heart every day. Okay? And we ought to put something into it. This old mess of coming to church and blumbling around on Tuesday nights and Sunday nights, son, like we all dead, is just a bunch. It's like a young man said, it's a bunch of junk. Amen. A new song. Have a new song. That is, put an oil into it. Son, pick up that harp with 10 strings and strum it and praise God. David said, rejoice in the Lord, for praise is comely for the upright. A song of praise. I don't have time to get into the rest of it, why it was and so forth. But I tell you, church, we need, hey, if there's ever a church, if there's ever a time since I've been the pastor here, that we need exactly what I preach tonight, it's tonight. Tonight. Amen. We've lost it. For some reason. And I don't really know why. But we've lost it. We come to church, it's just like it's just another day in our life. You know what we do? We come to church. Some of y'all come to church like I used to go to work on Monday morning. You look just like you hate being here. I never did like a public job, punching a time clock, being around that bunch of heathen. I feel sorry for you men that do. I pray for you. I mean that. I know how it is to roll out of bed on Sunday morning after you had the week, or Monday morning after you had the weekend off, and head into that place with that time clock. Man, I've been there. And we come to church the same way. I think Sunday I may put a time clock out there and let's punch in and out. Make us feel better. Don't get no idea you're getting out of here at 12 o'clock. Oh, we ain't going to make it work that way. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Are you righteous tonight? If you are, praise is comely for the upright. Let's stand.